Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everyone. Long weekends. Don't you love them? What do you got planned tomorrow? I think I'm in the garden. I'm in the garden tomorrow, digging out those weeds I've been avoiding for a long time. So we pray you have a great day off tomorrow on the long, because it's a long weekend. And again, if you do want to come over to Brisbane West this afternoon and join the team of people that are coming over there to minister to the Brisbane West Vineyard Church, 4 o'clock here. Sharp 4 o'clock, not a 4:10, a sharp 4 o'clock, and then we'll be on the road by 4:10 after we have a quick pray together, all right? Sharp 4 o'clock, 4:10, we're gone, okay? So see you there at 4 if you're planning to come, and if you are and you haven't already let us know, please do so, let us know. Also, quick add, just in regards to the Deliverance Ministry workshop that's next Friday night and Saturday morning with Greg Trainer here at the Vineyard, there was a registration fee of $50 on that. We just want you to know that if you've paid for that, we will refund that to you, because we just want to remove any and all barriers for people coming and getting equipped in the vitality of that ministry of casting out of demons. It is one of the ministries that everybody sort of puts in the category of you need to be super spiritual for, and that's actually a lie. It is one of the grassroots basic ministries of King Jesus and his people to know how to heal the sick and drive out demons. And so often we don't sort of see ourselves as in the category of being able to. So we want to remove every single barrier there is, and if finance is one of them, we just want you to know we're going to refund that to you, and that an offering will be taken across the course of the weekend, and we'll just trust the Lord that that will cover Greg's airfares and all of that's required for him to be up here and back again. So again, Friday night, that one kicks off here. All the notices are on you in your email, and if you haven't got your email coming through, scan the QR code there and get yourself signed up. Alrighties, this morning, Thanks, guys. We're going to just spend a little bit of time because we're leading into Pentecost. And I want to just apologize for my PowerPoint. It was a bit rushed this morning. And so you'll see a few little bits like, you know, the top sliced off stuff. So anyways, but we're going to lean into talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in a very practical way. We kind of put the Holy Spirit as this mystical kind of warmth person that sort of runs around in here and helps us to be more like Jesus. But we also need to learn how to practically partner with the activity of the person of the Holy Spirit, not just in here, but through us toward others as the kingdom of God is breaking in on their life, as God is making himself known. And that's why Jesus never said, pray for the sick. He said to his disciples, I give you a commission, go and heal the sick. What's the difference between healing and praying? Well, one is a conversation with God, which is prayer, and the healing, the command to heal, is actually the conversation from God through us to others. And that means we speak to illness, sickness, and brokenness and tell it to be made new in the authority and the name of King Jesus. And so what does that look like? What does that look like through you in a very practical way? We want to sort of do some nuts and bolts on that. I just want to say thanks to, before we get going, if you haven't had a listen to the last 2 weeks of teaching about leaning into God by Tavia, get on our YouTube channel and get stuck into that brilliant, brilliant, multi-layered, multifaceted teaching. It is quite incredible and very empowering. And if you haven't taken the time to sit down and listen to it, or you've listened to it once, go back and listen to it again. But one of the things that that Tavia invited us to was this conversation with God about leaning into God, primarily about learning to hear God. And when we learn to hear God, there's implications for our life. Once we start to hear the voice of God, what are we going to actually do with what we're hearing? Dallas Willard said, why is everyone sort of, I'm paraphrasing here, but Dallas Willard says, why is everybody so keen to hear God speak to them when we don't want to actually do anything with what he's telling us? Why are we so hungry to hear from God and yet do nothing with what he's actually saying to us? And the reality is, Tavia's been inviting us to lean into listening to God. You got to understand, though, when you start to lean into God, what you are actually doing is leaning away from other things. Leaning into God is not in isolation. Leaning into God is to lean away from the voice of the world being the narrative that we listen to. Leaning into God is to lean away from my voice being the final authority of my own life and how I choose to spend it. Leaning into God is to lean away from all of these other realities that we live our life by. And so what tends to happen is when we move from one point to another, when we receive revelation and we start to journey towards leaning towards God, we start to feel the tension and the tug. We start to experience not just the tug, but we actually start to experience conflict. Conflict of values, conflict of priorities, conflict of relationship. We start to lean into an experience that's stretching and spiritually dynamic. And so for anyone and everyone that in the last few weeks that's been here and you've said, yes, God, I want to hear you more. I want to lean into you. I want to hear your voice for my life. You invariably following into that space are going to find yourself stretched, and all of the things that you prioritize and hold dear, Jesus is going to say, are you going to lean towards that being your authority, or are you going to lean to my voice being the authority? Now, this and also the kingdom of darkness and the father of lies and all of the demonic infrastructure, that the power that Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians, all of that stuff is at work, manifestly empowering toward us to stop us from leaning away from that and leaning into God. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, talking with Tavia just via text message this week. She said, man, things have heated up for me. It's like spiritually the amount of like activity and just physical oppression and stuff going on is all of a sudden upticked. Well, why? Because leaning away and leaning into, you're going to upset the things that have held your life and prioritized your life and shaped your life and all of the both natural and spiritual dynamics around that. So I just want to take a little bit of time today to begin to explore with you some of the nuts and boltsy type of realities that are taking place when we say, oh yeah, I want to hear your voice, God. That's a beautiful thing, and it's an admirable thing. And I encourage you all, go for it. Pursue God. Listen to his voice. Hunger after his voice. His voice will lead us and show us what he's up to. Last Sunday, I think it was, there was a scripture reading that was referenced from Habakkuk 2. And in Habakkuk 2, you know, the big story behind all of that, Habakkuk's little bit of work in the Bible there in the Old Testament is the kingdom of Israel by this time had been divided, and there's the northern kingdom of Israel and there's the southern kingdom of Judah and of Israel. And so what's happened is the northern kingdom has been completely attacked by the Assyrian Empire. It's been overruled and overrun, and the whole place is just crushed now. And the people have been dispelled, and all that was held dear has now been blown away. And Habakkuk, he's in the southern kingdom, and he's having this conversation with God. And he says, I'm going to stand on the rampart, which is the part of the city which has the gateway coming into the protection, the protective walls of the city. He says, I'm going to take my place on the rampart and I'm going to say, hey, God, how long are we going to put up with this stuff? And then surprise, surprise, the rest of the book of Habakkuk is that God actually answers him. Habakkuk doesn't necessarily like the response either. Do you always love what God tells you? Because if you don't, you're not alone. But what Habakkuk does, though, is he chooses to, at the end of his little bit of prophetic work, he chooses to say, but still I will trust in you, Lord, despite what's going to be going on. And if you know the longer story, well, the longer story after Habakkuk, you know, the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom gets taken, it was taken over by the Assyrians, then the Babylonians come. And the Babylonians sack the Assyrians and then they come down into the southern kingdom and they sack the southern kingdom as well and they take everyone away except for a few people. And so it's in the middle of all of this crazy stuff that Habakkuk stands there and he says, I'm going to take my place here and I'm going to ask of you, God. And he doesn't necessarily like the question, the response, but God is very faithful in speaking to him. And I want to just let you know, however difficult your circumstance, whether you feel like it's all coming crashing down or it's all up and to the right, however you want to express it, the Lord is writing a story of his kingdom through your life as you lean into what he's doing and lean away from everything else that we've put in our life to give us a sense of security and structure. Because that's the other thing that happened for Habakkuk and his people at that time is that they had built their security on the corruption of political leaders and religious systems and yet the poor were being devastated and they turned actually away from God. And Habakkuk said, how long is this going to go on? And God said, well, this is what's going to take place. As you lean away from that stuff and you lean into what I'm saying I'm going to do. What does all that mean for you and me here at PRV, at Pine Rivers Vineyard? Well, I just want to take a little bit of time to articulate a few things this morning. Firstly, this, it's really important that we all grow up. It's really important that we all grow up when it comes to the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we give ourselves to the journey of becoming the body of Christ and actually putting some muscle or some faith on the body. Growing into maturity means hearing God, leaning into him, listening to the work of the Holy Spirit and what he is wanting to say to us. You know, here at the Vineyard, we have a number of distinctives. Now, when I use that word, Vineyard distinctives, it doesn't mean we own these words or these distinctives, but these are distinct about who God's asked us to be. And one of the distinctives we hold dear here at the Vineyard is everyone gets to play. You see, partnering with God's heart, if we're truly going to be a people who are after the voice of God, who are after the power of the voice of God to manifestly lead us, show us what he's up to, and bring us into the new creation of Christ, then everyone is going to need to be equipped and everyone's going to need to participate, which means we have to lean away from all of the old thinking that says that's for someone else or I'm not spiritual enough. Or I've been naughty this week, so how could God use someone like me? All of that, you've got to lean away from that and lean into the voice of God that says, everyone hears my voice. Everyone knows my voice. And you are a part of the body of Christ. I was going to pretend to be the voice of the Lord there for a minute. But I thought I better not. I'll pull up. But everyone gets to play. That's one of the distinctives here at the Vineyard, that And you see, that's a core thing about who we are. It's been interesting in recent months, folk who are new here to the church have just quite freely given us feedback, which I love. And they've given us this feedback about who we are as a people. And one of the things that they love is that there's no superheroes up the front that get to hog the limelight. But when it comes to doing the ministry of Jesus in the power of the Spirit, everyone gets to join in. This is a real distinctive about who we are. And I want to call every single one of you that call this place home to lean even further away from the things that are holding you from participating and lean into the invitation of the voice of God to say, come on, there's more for you to learn, to know, to grow. I mean, I've been at this for 30-something years and I still feel like I'm a beginner. There is always something more to learn. So today, as we just quickly go through this little thing, I also want to talk about the fact that we're a people that both love the Bible and love the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say the Bible and the Holy Spirit are not in competition with each other. Historically, though, some of us may come from either end of the body of Christ that has said, well, no, it's all about the Bible and the things of the Spirit ceased once the Bible was written. Or we're from the other end of town that says, we love the Holy Spirit so much, every now we've actually forgotten to actually pick up the Bible and use the Bible. The only competition that happens between the Bible and the Holy Spirit is our old frameworks of approaching theology. God doesn't hold them in competition with each other. It was actually the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that through the hearts and the pens of people wrote the Bible. It's like the Bible is a outworking of the Holy Spirit, not in competition with. There is no competition there. The only tension comes when we set them up in competition with each other, depending on the part of the body of Christ that we maybe have historically come from. And the reason why I say that is because here at the Vineyard, we love the Bible. We crack this every week. We encourage you to be digging in, getting into small groups, doing daily devotional activities. Get it? We love the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's inspiring. It's got authority. And if you spend enough time sort of glancing at the words on the page, it gets in you and it starts shaping you. But as it does, it also then partners with the presence of the Holy Spirit to bring the power of transformation. We love the Bible and we love the Holy Spirit. I think it was Putty Putman, and again, I'm paraphrasing. I do have a quote, but I haven't dug it out this morning, but Putty Putman once said he believed that God has made the Vineyard to introduce people to the Holy Spirit. We are Bible Spirit people. John Wimber used to say it like this. He used to say we are word workers. We are workers of the Word. We are Word and Spirit. And so as we just dig into this, it's important that you understand some of the things that are going on in the background as to the context that you're sitting in, as to the culture that you're a part of, as to what's going on in this season where God is saying, lean in. Lean in. Psalm 51, verse 6 reads this: surely you desire truth in the innermost parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. So as we give ourselves to this journey of growing up and being matured, let's just take a moment to check our motive. As we're hearing God saying, lean in, and as his manifest presence and power continues to burble along and increase and flow and usher and empower and all of those great words that Tavia used to articulate, as all of that's going on, we need to understand, what's our motives for engaging with this work of the Spirit? So this morning, ask yourself a question. Why am I hungry to participate in the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Why am I even keen to hear God speak to me? Or why am I so afraid of what God might ask of me if I have a conversation with him? Just check that as you're coming into this and as you're saying, I hear your invitation, I'm going to lean in and lean away. Just acknowledge the motives that are going on in your heart. See, what's your view of God as you begin these this little series that we're going to unpack over the next little while? But what's my view of God? Because what's my view of God determines my view of myself. When we see Jesus, just as a little starter, when we see Jesus, Jesus says, you've seen God, the Father. And in Jesus, this is the wonderful mystery about the person of Jesus. When we see Jesus, we also see ourselves. Now, I haven't got time to unpack that one, but that's a beautiful mystery that we've carried for a number of years now, and it's a great one indeed. But I'm just pointing at that just to say how we view God affects how we view ourselves. Wow, if the voice of God starts moving and speaking, and like if I hang out with those people, God might say something to me. Is my response to keep a low profile in case God might see me here? Or is it, heck man, I deserve all of this and more because my life has been so tough. I deserve to hear the voice of God. Listen, just quietly, God is really fortunate that I'm here. And so are the people in the church. Just quietly. I want to do great things for God. I really want to be like Jesus and do what he does. I'm a born leader, so let me lead. I know how to play the game. I understand myself as sitting on God's knee and hearing his heart for others. Quite literally, my heart breaks with what I believe God's heart is broken for. What's your view of God? Because that will impact how you view yourself and how you're coming to this. Surely you desire truth in the innermost part. See, God does speak, John 16, 13 to 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, Jesus here is prophesying and foretelling about the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. He will guide you into all truth and he will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears and he will tell you what is yet to come. In Job 33, 14 to 16. For God does speak. Now he speaks one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision at night, when the deep sleep falls on us, as people slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears. See, God is speaking all the time, though we may not see it and recognize it. Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. Now, I know there's a context to that verse, but look at the dynamic. The voice of God, what does it sound like, Jesus say in that moment? That's the voice of God. That's foreign to me. I'm listening for an audible voice. We may not perceive it because we think we're listening for or looking for how we think God should be speaking. But you can hear it's that nuanced invitation to grow up and learn the ways of God, learn the languages of God, learn to hear his heart, learn about the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the heart of God that each and every one of us should be a people who have the Spirit upon us and then participate in this wonderful ministry of the prophetic. And I haven't got time for going into the nuts and bolts of what the prophetic is, but I do want to show you the continuum in the story of the Bible. Looks like this. Here's the heart of God. Starts with Moses. Tavia was teaching about this last week, about how the Spirit of the Lord fell on Moses and the 70 elders who all went into the tent. And then there's two elders that are meant to be in there, but for some reason, they were on the list, but they weren't in the tent. Eldad and Medad, those guys were outside the tent. I love that. The in and the out. That's irrelevant to the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord falls on the 70, and yet at the same time, the Spirit of the Lord falls on Eldad and Medad, who are outside the tent of where it should be happening. And then some people run up to Moses and say, hey, the Spirit of the Lord's on these guys, and they're prophesying just like the 70 elders are inside the tent, as if they're doing the wrong thing because they're not in. What that does for me is I get this sub-question that's running around in me now. How in do you have to be to experience the power of the Holy Spirit? Hello? But the Spirit of the Lord falls on Eldad and Medad, and some people catch them prophesying as if they've done the wrong thing. They go and report it to Moses, and Moses said, my heart is that everyone, I wish, he says in Numbers 11:29, I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them all. How often do we find ourselves constantly deferring to the anointed ones? I mean, we live not just in the body of Christ, but I mean in workplaces. We are so like, you have got to be qualified, legitified, and codified, and then given a gold pass to do stuff, and unless you've done that, you can't do that. We're brought up in this cultural system that is constantly deferring to. But the Spirit of the Lord here is not looking for people who are just at the top of the tree. Moses says the heart of God is that he would put his Spirit on everyone. Now, this is way back in the Old Testament. So, and then there's Joel in his prophecy. In Joel 2, he's prophesying and he says this, and afterwards I will pour out my Spirit. So when Joel's prophesying at this point, he's taking God's heart, putting it into words and speaking it to the people. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, irrespective of gender. The Spirit of the Lord will be on them, and your old people will dream dreams, and your young will see visions. Even on my servants, men and women, again, the gender issue, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Well, it's Joel's like, there's coming a time where the heart of God that was expressed through Moses is now giving real detail. It's going to fall on men and women, and they are all going to be able to hear God and articulate his heart. So now we fast forward right through to the New Testament, the coming of Jesus. Jesus lives, ministers, dies, rises, ascends. And now here we are at the start of the book of Acts, where these guys have been waiting for the Spirit of the Lord, even as Joel prophesied would come. And then Peter stands up because the Spirit of the Lord does fall. And Peter stands up and says, he stands up with the 11. I like that. It's a bit like a you know, a modern day political television interview. You know how the one politician stands here and then there's all the others behind them? Like, we've all got important jobs to do, you know? It's like one of those scenes, okay? So they're all there. The question's like, what's going on? And they all look at each other. Well, who's going to take the microphone? And Pete steps up. And everyone sort of shuffles in behind him, shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, yeah, Pete, go for it. What Pete says. And he says, and Pete stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He says, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. What is he explaining? Why does it look like full on when the Spirit of the Lord falls on people? And in this case, there was a manifest outpouring of the Holy Spirit on them. And he says, listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. Now that gives us a little bit of an idea of potentially what it could look like when we pray, come Holy Spirit. That's not a behavior management thing. That's just the Spirit of the Lord falling on people and people becoming undone by his presence and power. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I don't know if the bars were open in Jerusalem at that time. But he says, no, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Remember what we just read? Peter's saying, this is that. This is that. So the continuum is there. The heart of God is still flowing. Let's go through to Paul. So Paul now, he was Saul. He was running around killing all these people who had given their lives to Jesus and seeking to shut down the church and persecute people and drag them away and have them killed for acknowledging Jesus is the Lord. And he was doing such a great job of it that the Spirit of the Lord fell on him in such a way that it blinded him and arrested his life. And then he met the risen Christ in that moment. And then his life gets completely transformed. And Paul says this as he's writing to one of the churches in Corinth. He says this in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially this gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. And indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men or people for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church, the ecclesia, the gathered people. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Paul quite literally says, actually, there is a importance of value on this particular work of the Holy Spirit called prophecy and the prophetic. And we'll touch on that in coming weeks as to what that actually looks like and means. Now, let's follow the continuum as for us. Well, what about for us? If we're in the line, now I'm taking big leaps, okay? Through church history, and I could pull up a whole bunch of church history and quotes and so forth, and actually Tavia mentioned some of the people in church history, the Wesleys and so forth, but anyway, in church history, and then we get to the vineyard, here at Pine Rivers on the 5th of May. As for us, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. Wayne Grudem, theologian, he says it like this. If spiritual gifts are characteristic of the new covenant age, then our expectation would be that normally functioning. So if this isn't happening for Grudem, he's saying it's quite abnormal if this isn't happening. He's saying a normal functioning New Covenant Church would have the continuing experience of all of the gifts mentioned in the New Testament, and that these gifts, characteristic as they are of the church age, would continue in the church up until the time of the Lord's return, where the Holy Spirit is at work in the New Covenant Church, should we not rightly expect to see all the gifts of the Holy Spirit present and functioning in the church? I think he's seeing pretty clearly. In other words, it's abnormal for the gifts to not be in operation till Jesus returns. So much so, this is your starting place and my starting place as individuals. This is your starting place and my starting place. Oop, there we go. Hang on. I don't know. Did I go one too far? Oh, no. There it is. There it is. Your starting place and my starting place. Everyone gets to play to each one. You're one. Les, you're one. Grace, you're one. Sharon, you're one. Dale, you're one. Jake, you're one. Kobe, you're one. Georgia, you're one. To each one, the manifestation, in other words, the dynamic, visible, audible, powerful work of the Spirit of God is given to you. That's a starting point. But it's not about you. It's not all about you. See, I like to go, well, I'm one, you know, and culturally we go, well, I'm one. In fact, I am the one. We all use all this language that goes, oh, they're the best, they're the greatest, they're the amazing ones. They get to do it, we get to watch. I spent a couple of hours yesterday afternoon watching a few footy games with my dad. And the commentators before the games, my goodness, they were the words they were using to describe these players was off the charts in terms of them being these superhero, godlike, amazing people when they put football boots on and carry a ball and get onto the field. And there's no one like them. They are the ultimate. They are the best. And I'm just like, no wonder these guys are cracking up before they're 30. The pressure that they are under to live up to all of this inflation when they're meant to be playing a game and they're meant to be participating and they're meant to bring everything of who they are to that moment. But it's not all about them. And that's one of the things you'll hear good football players say at the end of the game. And I'll give this to them. I think it's more trained or caught than taught. But they interview them and they say, yeah, you were amazing. What about when you did this on the field and did that? And their first go-to is always this. Part of a great team. Part of a great team. We worked so well together today. Yeah, we failed a bit on this and we did great on that, but part of a great team. I think they've been reading the Bible a little bit there. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for everyone else's benefit. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, another message of knowledge, by the same Spirit, another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by that one Spirit, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different types of tongues, still another the interpretation of tongues, and all these works are of the one and same Spirit, and the Spirit distributes them to each one just as the Spirit determines. It's very dynamic, isn't it? But that's why everyone gets to play, because you're one. You're all one. And for the common good. In other words, everyone needs to play. Everyone gets to play, and everyone needs to play. It's a bit like if everyone is not participating, it's a bit like, oh, forgive the sporting analogies, but it's a bit like trying to play a round of golf, 18 holes of golf with a putter, just one stick, one golf stick, golf club, a putter. It's like, how am I going to hit that ball 300 yards down there with a putter? I can't. I need the big driver, because the driver is made to get that ball down there. The putter is very important. That's the one that's used for that very nuanced, delicate finishing off to get the ball in the hole. I need both the driver and the putter. But for everyone, if everyone is not participating, it's like trying to play a game of golf with a putter. And if you've ever tried to do that, I don't know what to say about that. But anyway, you need the whole lot. We need the whole body of Christ participating. Am I making myself clear? All right, let's finish off. God speaks. The Spirit is on all flesh. Everyone gets to play. Everyone needs to play. My question is Paul's question. Do you eagerly desire this? That's the question. Do you eagerly desire this? All right, we're going to have a crack at this just to finish off. And we're just going to like teach into this because I think this will be a little bit of fun. All right, we have got a visitor here today who I met just before I came down the front. And I'm really excited to introduce them. And they're probably going to feel really awkward that I'm doing this right now because they have no idea what I'm about to do. But I'm just going to take the liberty that this is a really safe place. And the context is that Jesus loves us. And we are his people. There's a visitor here today, and his name's Gabriel. And Gabriel is from the Grace Vineyard Church in Christchurch, New Zealand. Anyway, I got to have a chat to him, like literally as I was just coming down the front here. And he's good friends with our friends, the McGregors. That Lisa would know too, the McGregors. And so what I thought was, we, as the body, might take a minute to share with Gabriel two things. Now, not just off the top of your head. We're going to say, God, what's on your heart? Okay? And we're going to ask God for something for him personally. Now, the nature of it, I'll just quickly say it, it will strengthen him, it will encourage him, and it will comfort him. If it's not of those three things, the nature of those three things, we may not be hearing the Holy Spirit. So just run it through that grid as we're doing this, all right? Strengthening, encouraging, comforting. We're going to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, what's something that Gabriel really needs to hear from you today? Why would he, on a weekend in Brisbane, from Kelvin Grove, look up online to want to be in a place like this right now? What's going on? What do you want him to know today, Lord? And we're going to ask the Lord for something for him personally. And then we're going to also, for the second thing is, we're going to ask God, God, what's something that the people at Grace Vineyard need to hear from your heart that Gabriel could take home that would encourage, strengthen, and bless that local church? Now, that's an awesome church, I got to say. It's a wonderful place. We love it. But we're going to do that, all right? And we're not going to be super spiritual about it. Please don't turn into something that you're not. Just be you. And we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come. And the Holy Spirit is going to start to stir some things in you. It may, like Tavia was teaching us, this is a very nuanced thing. Listen to the Spirit of the Lord touching you physically, or it may be your emotions. Or it may be a picture, or it may be an audible. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. All right, now I want to say this before we do it. You can't fail this one. You have been saved in Jesus for all eternity. All right? Your salvation's not on the line if you make a boo-boo. All right? I tell you, I have to say that because that's one of the things that gets in the way. We feel like we can't do this because I'm not. It's a bit like saying, I'll become comfortable driving a car when I know how to do it without learning. Hello? It's like, I'll be comfortable with driving a car without learning it. So no, it doesn't happen like that. You become comfortable because you've entered the learning experience. Okay? So we're just going to take time. Now, right now in this moment, half of us in the room are going, yay! And the other half are going, ooh. Just acknowledge it. Enter into that moment. I'm going to lean in and lean away. I'm going to lean away from all of the, oh, what if I get, God, would you even speak to a person like, lean away from all that and lean into God speaks, and then we're going to go from there, all right? Who wants to play? Hands up if you want to play. Now, we're only playing with half the clubs there. Everyone needs to play. All right? Everyone needs to play. I think I've set the ground rules pretty good. We'll take a few minutes. We're not going to prophesy his history to him. We're just going to say, hey, feel like God said this, that, that. Just drop it in there, okay? And if you have got some, Sam, I'm just wondering if there's a second microphone that might be fired up and ready to go, and I'll get Scott to run around the room and do that. Alrighty. So let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Here we are, God. We're your people. We're your people. And it's always been your heart that your Spirit would rest on your people. And so we welcome you, Spirit of God, all of your gifts, all of your grace, all of your manifestation. We welcome you. And we pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would just let us know what's on the Father's heart for Gabriel. For Gabriel. Gabriel is this gentleman in the back row here. Just wave your hand for us, Gabriel. There he is with the hat on. There we go. Sometimes, actually, you know you need to look to listen. A bit like Habakkuk said, I will look for the Lord and listen to what he shows me. That sounds strange, I know, but that's how it works. So you might need to just take a glance at Gabriel and go, oh, hang on a minute, I think God's saying this. Looking and listening. So, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I really, really, like there's people in the room who are really seasoned at this, and I just want you guys to be like the bull at the gate, but just hold for me. Just hold. And I want everyone in the room that's like, I've never done this before, but man, I want you to have first crack, all right? Because you can't get it wrong. You can't get it wrong. I want you to have first go. So it might be just something very simple that you want to just say. So, all right, just when if anyone's got like a little picture word or something from the Holy Spirit, just pop your hand up for me. So first one is, this is for Gabriel. This is words for Gabriel, from God's heart through his people to Gabriel. Just pop your hand up when you've got some. Just come over.
Gabriel, I've just got a word. I believe it's from the Lord, of course. Just let you know, your employment is secure.
Thank you, Lord. Now, Gabriel, you can gather all these up, okay? Actually, we'll probably record this stuff and we'll gather it all up for you to be able to process a bit with the Lord afterwards as well. Just pop your hand up. Ralston and then Pauline. Okay, we're starting to... There's a little bit of a crack happening in the damn wall here.
G'day, Gabriel. Every week I've been here, the last 2.5 months, I've been looking at that banner. There's obviously a meaning to it. Today is the day I wanted to say something about it, and that God loves you.
Hmm.
God loves you.
Thanks, Ralston. Pauline, just over here. Hang on a second, we'll just get the microphone to you.
Oh, sorry. There was one word, it was just increase.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Increase. Oh, just in front of you, mate. Grace is there. Yep.
I got the word persevere.
Persevere. Thank you, Lord.
What's happening here?
Yep.
I got, as soon as I shut my eyes, I got Holy Spirit rain down, and he said he's going to rain down on you in abundance so that he can enlarge the borders of your tent.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Over the back there to Sharon, and then we'll come over to Tracy. Okay, see how this is like just got some grease on the wheel now. This is good.
The Holy Spirit just gave me a word, and it was flavour. And he's going to bless you in the midst of many flavours of diversities of people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, that was Tracy just in front down here. And then...
just two words, grace and peace.
Grace and peace to you. Susan?
I feel like God's saying that he is lighting the footsteps that you need to walk in, and that he is before you in everything that you're doing and that he's going to call you to do.
Awesome. Okay, Phil, just a couple more. Phil?
Okay, I'm looking at your foot and it's highlighting to me there are two colours, two sections on your foot that are separate there, that are colours, and they're like... I believe God is saying it. There are two areas in your life that God is moving in and through you in, and that he's bringing it together, and that your footprint will be bigger than what it is at the moment, but they'll come together.
Thank you, Lord. I love the way you leaned into that one. You said, I'm looking at your shoe and my attention is drawn to that. Just that was really good, because that was the way God caught your attention, Phil. And then as you leaned into that, the rest came. That was a great little living illustration of, I saw your shoe and God then started to get your attention with what was on his heart. That was good. I like that. Come on. Okay. Sharon, okay, let's go. One more. This is just for Gabriel, all right? Hopefully this is filling your tank, Gabriel.
I think that this is just an observation, just to encourage you, and that is that I can see that you're very kind, and that you've got a wonderful name. I think God would want you to know that.
Thank you, Lord.
Simple.
Thanks, Sharon. Now, before
can
we
I take on to Phil's? Is that all right? I've got the mic.
Oh, you got so some?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go.
I feel like as Phil was talking, I've been God reminded me. I think it's Daniel 2, and forgive me, I'll look it up. But that two parts to your foot. The last, the statue that Daniel has a vision of, the last two are the iron and the clay, which. But it's not that you're a bad king. Like, there's things in your life, but the rock smashes it and it consumes the whole world. And I felt like the Lord said that the worlds that you walk in, again, not that the part's not that you're evil or anything like that, because the Roman Empire is foreseen that, but for you, God's is going to break all those parts of you. Well, he's going to consume every part of who you are.
Thank you, Lord. So. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Scott. All right. Okay. Now let's quickly shift gears. Now this one. Now we're asking God, what's on your heart? Sorry, Wendy. What's on your heart for the people that Gabriel comes from in the Grace Vineyard in Christchurch in New Zealand? Remembering, they're our family. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're also Vineyard family. They're even like a bit closer again. I mean, they speak a funny way, the Kiwis, but by the grace of God, we have the interpretation of tongues. Anyway, but this time around, we're going to ask God for what's on your heart for the family there at Grace Vineyard Church. That Gabriel might take this home and share this with them, that they would be encouraged and strengthened and comforted. in this season that they're in. Okay, so again, Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing in the room. Thank you that your presence is among us. And we just ask now, would you put on our heart, put into our mind, put into our vocabulary, pictures and words and thoughts that are from your heart, God, for the Grace Vineyard Church in New Zealand. So come, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, yep, okay, so Tavia, yep. All right, for those who have been seasoned and feel like they've been held back, you've done very well. You're now free to play. All right.
Thank you, because I was like, hold on.
You're free to play.
So I had a picture of a bunch of grapes, which is appropriate because we're a vineyard, but I was reminded of the verse that he is the vine and we are the branches. And I believe I also saw a cloud, and just because of recent words, it was very connected in my head with the cloud of God's glory and his presence. And I feel that it's a call for Grace Vineyard to connect more to each other as a community. This is not a word of judgment, it's just an encouragement, because mm-hmm. as they connect more to each other, he can flow down those branches of connection and bring that cloud. And obviously New Zealand is the land of the long white cloud.
There we go.
And there's plenty of the Holy Spirit we know there. Yes. Like, you know, he loves New Zealand.
Yes.
But he's got more, and so this is a word of encouragement that the more that you guys connect as a church, the more that Jesus can flow down those connections, and yeah, bring more of his glory, more of yeah, we can
Thank
bring
you,
we
Lord.
Can share what we have with you. So hopefully that yeah Thank does you, that.
Thank you, Lord. All right, oof, hands are flying up here. Yep, Wendy.
Gabriel, I think these two pictures are connected. The first one's for you. I just see you standing on quite a big field, and when I look sideways at you, you're just looking to be standing by yourself. But when God gave me a view of looking down, the view he has, there's a gigantic angelic presence right behind you, and there's a sense of you sheltering under the Lord's wings and feathers. The picture for the vineyard there is that you're on a playing field. The church is playing a game on a playing field, playing soccer. I'm not sure if that's a New Zealand game or not. And you're playing short-teamed. You haven't got the right number of players for a team, but you're still up playing. And then I just see the Lord draws lots of people to come and watch this game, and then the spectators start to join into the game. And then the next picture is that there's lots of teams from your vineyard playing on all the... It's a playing field that's got five or six playing fields as part of the one field.
Bang on.
So there's five or six playing fields now have your church teams playing on those as well.
Yes, yes. I'll say yes to that because I know some story there. That's a big yes. Neil.
Two things. Just wanted to affirm, Susan, the word was builder, that you are a builder. For Grace Vineyard, I saw a picture of a mountain and it had snow on it, and the snow was gathering and getting heavy and heavy, and then all of a sudden there was an avalanche, and it's like it was time to for the snow to hit the valleys and form into waters and streams and just go out. It's no longer on top of the mountain.
Mm, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jeanette? And then over here, mate.
I just got the one word, explosion.
Explosion.
Yeah, I feel that God is going to do a work over at Grace and it's going to explode. What Wendy was saying is I could relate to it straight away, because he's going to bring the people in and it's just going to explode.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just over here, mate. Oh, sorry, Les.
Yeah, your name is Gabriel, G-A-B, Gab. The Lord's asking you to use the gift of the gab more.
Ooh.
You know what gab is, eh, Gabriel? You know what the gift of the gab is? Talk more.
Talk more. That's an Aussie slang. The gift of the gab, good talker. Ooh, there you got the gift of the gab.
Gift of the gab. Going over here first. And on the back of Tavia's word, Gabriel, for Grace, I heard the Lord say whanangatanga again, and Belinda said it, that word over your national conference, and the tree that was used as the image with the roots is not over for
Thank
Grace
you, Lord.
Vineyard.
I sat on one word and it's just continued to multiply, and that word was family.
Mm.
And I felt like it was for you personally, but also for the church. The Lord wants to bless and multiply a family.
Mm.
And that the family of grace will be all the pictures that you've seen, but it's the love and expression of love that comes in family that will be what's seen by others, and others will want to join.
Awesome. Family,
yeah,
that's
those
what...
For those who don't know, I actually, that word, whanaungatanga, is family.
Yes, yes. Hey, guys, this is really... Oh, did you have something, Nick? Oh, okay, you want to... Oh, where am I going here? Oh, okay, yes.
I just had the word that that your church is a light in the darkness, and that from what everyone else says, that light's going to shine and expand and go bigger.
Thank you, Lord.
Still seeing feet, but you know, when you go to, I think it's the athlete's foot, you stick your foot down on a machine and it shows you your footprint, it shows you where all the pressure points are on your feet. And I felt those two areas once again were just pressure points of the Spirit of God moving in your church. And when the football field was mentioned, I just imagined all those feet out on the field and these pressure points growing and growing and growing to the point where it's a complete foot.
This is awesome.
And so, yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to wind this up here. We've got, who's over here that needs to say one? Amy and then Nicole, okay, and then we'll finish up.
I saw a picture of a heart kind of buzzing and radiating out, and there was a word about exploding out, and it's the heart, it's the heart that's going to explode out and reach people.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lord. Last one down here, Nick.
I just wanted to quickly add, Gabriel, for you, just on Les's word about gift of the gab, I felt the Lord, as soon as he said that, I felt the Lord say, you've got something to speak, and don't be afraid that the Lord is going to fill your mouth. Be confident that he's building something in you that will come out of you, and it'll be words speaking.
Thank you, Lord. Now, I would love to just sit back with a coffee right now and say, all right, Gab, give us what was on point, what was totally I got no idea about that bit. But that's what I would do right now. I would just sit down and I just, with the help of the Holy Spirit, because one of the things that Paul says is we hear in part and we see in part. In other words, we get bits and it's like, oh, yeah, that's why we see a bit and we lean in and we get a little bit more and so forth. I would love to get a debrief from Gabe. I'm conscious of the time. But I am going to say, Gabe, if there is anything in any of that is just way off the mark, we just pray that it would just fall away from you. But that everything that was on point from God's heart to your heart, from God's heart to the Grace Vineyard, we pray that it will just land and it would give life in all its fullness to the Lordship of Jesus in your life and through your life and through the life of the Grace Vineyard. So bless you, mate. And if you do have some time, we would love to get some feedback at some point. All right. Now, how do we go with that? That wasn't too bad, was it? That was pretty good. Alrighty, that's what we do. We want to be a people who carry the Spirit. This is what it looks like. Everyday people with Jesus in the power of the Spirit, doing the everyday work of the Holy Spirit for the strengthening, encouraging and comforting of the body of Christ and the people that we live and work among every day. And so I'm just going to ask if you would like to be activated in that even more. Why don't you just stand up? I'm going to pray a blessing over you before we go. If you would like to be activated in that more, I'm saying, hey, here's my desire, Lord. I want more. I want to do this more. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just the spiritual hunger and activation that's in this room right now. And as we go today, we pray that all of this stuff and words and inspiring of your scriptures and the work of your Spirit would just find good soil and grow and multiply through our life in such a way that it would see people fall in love with Jesus and grow up into their rightful place as sons and daughters of the living God. Help us to be your disciples, Jesus. Holy Spirit, bless us as we go now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming, church. That was good fun. That was a little different this morning, wasn't it? Hey, if you want to come and if you, those who just got activated some more, if and those who maybe were just still sitting, you're really welcome to join us at 4 o'clock here, sharp, and before we head over to Brisbane West, and we're going to go and do some of this over there tonight. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week in the kingdom.